Hey guys, welcome to It's a Bronx Story,
a podcast by two lifelong Yankee fans about all things Yankees.
All right, so we're recording this the night of the Orioles series ending. We followed our sweep of the Guardians up with the sweep of the Orioles. I mean, the team is doing just about everything you could ask of them right now. They're sweeping the teams that they should be. They swept the Guardians, which Jeterner and I talked about that before that series, that like 2 out of 3 would have been good. We weren't expecting a sweep, but they did it, and then they swept the Orioles finally. The offense has woken up. The pitching has still been good. Obviously, the Orioles have scored a decent amount of runs, but we'll talk about how a little chunk of those were kind of just like garbage time runs that the Yankees just kind of gave. Or like, they didn't give it their all to stop the Orioles and like shut them down completely, but it doesn't matter. It's three W's in the win column.
Six in a row.
Yeah, 8 of our last 9. We've scored 10 plus runs in 3 of the last 4. We get to follow this series up with the Royals. So that should be at least another 2 out of 3. I want it to be a sweep, but 3 sweeps in a row is a lot to ask for out of a baseball team. No matter how bad the teams are, it's baseball. Susan's favorite phrase, it's baseball. Or wait,
that's baseball.
That's baseball for you.
Yeah,
it'd be awesome to get another sweep, and we'll preview that series at the end of this. But and we also just wanted to touch on the video came out about Miles Straw, so we know what he said now. Spoiler alert, it doesn't really change what we said before. And there's definitely a lot of context missing in that video. It starts pretty late into the process. But we'll touch on it. We wanted to talk about the whole Nolan Arenado and the Mets situation that happened, I guess. And I also wanted to touch on the last inning of the blow-up for the Cardinals and the 2 games prior to that, because that was something you don't see very often. And then you mentioned another thing that you wanted to talk about that I'm blanking on now.
So it's a big day. I'm not talking about the NFL draft. It's Acuna day.
Oh, right. He's back. I forgot the draft was tonight. I don't really care about football, so.
I like football, but not as much as baseball, clearly.
Yeah, like I like football, but I don't care enough to like be super into the draft and everything. Yeah. The MLB draft, though, I do like to watch the MLB draft. Now that they moved it to All-Star Weekend, that was
an amazing I think that's move. Really smart, yeah. I think that's a good move on their part.
Yeah. All right, so I guess we can hop right into the first Orioles game series? Of the series, yeah. Yankees took care of business. So, I mean, there's one story of this game, really. I guess there's two. But there's one main story, and I'll let you.
So, yeah. So, we started the game with Severino on the bump, and he looked fantastic for the first 6 innings. He was throwing a no-hitter, and everything was clicking. And it was also Judge's birthday that day, right? April 26th?
Yep.
So, those were. So, it was his birthday, so the Yankees wanted to celebrate with a win. And Sevy tried his hardest to make it extra special. Started 6 no-hit innings.
Perfect. He had 5 perfect innings. Mm-hmm. And then in the 6th inning, he hung a slider that Santander hit for a 3-run home run. And that kind of soiled the entire outing that he had. I mean, it sucks because he looked so good and made one bad mistake, and it was a home run. Yeah. So, I mean, that it's tough, and I believe he was responsible for the run that scored in the 7th inning as well. So he goes from 5 perfect innings to 6 runs, 4 earned off of 3 hits. Like,
it just
an unfortunate end to a great start for him, but he looked good, which is all that really matters. Like, sometimes you're going to get clipped for a home run. It's just, that's baseball. It's what's that can happen. But on the offensive side, one of the two of the Italian duo, Anthony Rizzo, has been unreal to start the season and didn't slow down at all for this game.
Yeah. So in the 3rd, he got the scoring started with a 2-run home run. So that was real nice. hit a, you know, short porch home run, but it's a home run.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, Judge also hit a home run on his birthday. That was real good. And then Rizzo just didn't stop. Just hit. It was a 3-home run game for him. Now leads the majors in home runs with 8.
Yeah, and his first home run was a classic porch job. Barely got out. Was only out at Yankee Stadium. His second home run was would have been out in a lot of places. And his third home run was really interesting because everyone thought it was going to be foul. Rizzo thought it was going to be foul. Mm-hmm. And at the very end, it kind of tailed back in and got around the pole and just barely got out. And Rizzo was like, okay. Like, it's just that kind of night for him. And we're seeing this year, Rizzo said he did a lot of work in the offseason to stop pulling so many home runs foul. And so far this year, it's definitely worked for him because he has 8 home runs.
I think so there was 3 things of note that I took away from this game. Obviously Rizzo, Severino, and then our bullpen kind of, you know, had a mini meltdown there. You know, Loaiza Lutke kind of got into trouble, but he allowed 1 run, and then they brought in Loaiza and he gave up a 3-run home run. So only 1 was charged to Loaiza on the home run. But it was kind of like you expect him to come in and do his job, like keep the runners stranded. And I think it was the first hitter he gave up a home run to as soon as he came in.
Yeah, it sounds right. And then he got the last out of the inning. And I mean, Loaiza like looked really good in spring and has looked really good in certain outings this year. And then other ones, it's just like his command isn't quite there. Yeah. So his pitches kind of just leak out over the middle of the plate and he gets punished for it. I'm not worried yet. I mean, if we're halfway through the season, he's still inconsistent. It's then it becomes worrying. But while it's still cold and all of that stuff, I'm not super worried about it. It sucks. Like it's not ideal. But he earned the right to have a pretty like a decent leash after last year.
Yeah.
I mean, we're still giving Chad Green a leash after his 2017 year. So.
I agree. You know, it wasn't the best. I think he's still working through some stuff, but when he's on, he has filthy stuff. So I think sooner or later he'll figure it out. I think it's just some growing pains to start the year, and it hasn't really been affecting the Yankees. And I think that's the main thing. Right now we have the best record in the AL, first in the division. So that's all I want.
Yeah, and Clay Holmes and Chapman both did their thing. Clay Holmes had a really good outing. Chapman gave up 2 walks, but also had 2 strikeouts. Didn't give up any hits or runs, so that's an improvement for a lot of the stuff we've seen from him. He still has his ERA on the season, which is just wild. But let's not forget, Joey Gallo hit a home run in this game.
Yeah.
And it was an opposite field laser beam that it was just great to see. everyone knows how rough his start of the year has been. If he can get on a hot streak, that'll do so much for his confidence, let alone this offense. I mean, if your 7 hitter is hitting tanks like every game, then it's kind of tough to do anything against this team, because then you got Kiner Falefa behind him that's just some way or another just figures out how to get a hit. Like, it's he's not doing a ton of damage in terms of home runs and doubles and extra base hits, but those singles pile up, and that's sometimes all you really need in a situation, especially that far down the order. Just keep the ball rolling. And that's exactly what he's done. Higgy still sucks this year. He's batting .111 with a .293 OPS. Like, IKF has a higher batting average than Higgy does OPS. So
yeah, it seems like Trevino's kind of taking over that starting job. You know, I think they have equal defense, so it's not like you're like, now we have to put Trevino. I think Trevino has better defense.
Yeah, but I definitely think he's a better framer. We really haven't had to see, like, I don't know if it was just Gary was actually that bad at defense, but we really haven't had many passed balls or wild pitches this year. Like,
we've had a couple, but it was, and it's also, it seemed when we had wild pitches, it came at the worst possible moment. Yeah. It'll be like runner at third, you know, up by a run, and like, oh, okay, that's a tying run. cool, great.
And you know, it's also like, I feel like our pitchers have been better this year, but at the same time, with Gary last year, there would be balls that Higgy is stopping or Trevino is stopping that would have gotten by Gary for a wild pitch, but they're at least getting in front of it, and that's been, it's been nice. And but Trevino's so good at framing, like he's good at it, but Trevino, it's just fun to watch.
The Yankees defense as a whole, like they, that was kind of their mindset, like they wanted to improve their defense, and the Yankees had the fewest errors so far to start the year.
They've had 12 games without an error. Yeah. I doubt they went on a stretch like that at all last year.
I don't think so. I'm pretty sure Glaber probably threw an error at some point if in a 12-game stretch. But it's really good defense. Yeah, it's really good defense. I think that really does help the pitchers. That's something in our Yankee preview that we said. It's just like having an improved defense helps the pitchers out. Like you're going to be saving some runs throughout the year, get them out of like stressful situations, just because, like you said, pass balls is like now there's a runner in scoring position. Like it's still, you're still throwing the same amount of pitches, but it's more stressful pitches.
So. Yeah. And Glaber, like after he had that like kind of weird stuff in Baltimore, but after that, every game he's played at second base since then, it's been like no complaints.
Yeah.
Like he looks good at second base. He's not, I'm not saying he's a good defender at second base. He just looks like I'm not cringing every time the ball is hit to him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Like at shortstop, it's like what's about to happen. And now IKF, at the beginning of the season, he was kind of rough. But now it's like if it's hit to him, I'm like, all right, yep, we're going to get an out somehow. Like he's not going to mess this up.
It's kind of similar to Didi when he first came in. Like he had a rough stretch. You know, he wasn't – he came in – with the idea that he would be a defensive shortstop and he was making those errors and you were just like, okay, this guy sucks. And he couldn't hit at all. Yeah. Which, but his calling card was his defense. So it's like, you can't even do that right then.
Yeah. I mean, IKF has been awesome. The Hawaiian hustle, like he's just so fun to watch play because he's not, if he was like our third hitter or like our leadoff guy or something, he'd be a lot worse. But the fact that we can just stash him in the eight hole and like all he has to do is get singles. Like I don't, if as long as he's not striking out all the time and like hitting into double plays, I don't really care. So if he can hit around 300, like that's a huge win out of your eight hole.
Actually in this game, it was an IKF. Well, he did have a single, but Glaber, you know, took what was given to him, got a triple, got three RBIs, cleared the bases, and it was really nice to see. You know, that's kind of the approach that I want the Yankees to have. You know, it's just like, just get on base, just kind of take a hit. Like, we don't need you to, you know, hit a home run every single time. Just, you know, get on base, get a single, trying to put pressure on the defense and do that. And that's how you win.
Yeah, and like players like Judge, Rizzo, Stanton, Donaldson, those are your home run hitters. Those are the guys that... They don't need to go home run or nothing. They'll just hit home runs because of how hard they hit the ball and how good of a hitter they are. But, like, literally everyone else, DJ, Glaber, Gallo, Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, like, our catchers, like, they just need to, and Hicks when he's playing, just go with whatever they give you. Just get on base. I mean, Gallo is a home run or nothing guy to the maximum extent of possibilities, but like I guess Gal, but he's our seven hitter, so like if there's going to be a guy that's home run or nothing all the way, like I'm fine with it being our seven hitter. He's not killing a rally every single time he comes up to bat as if he was our four hitter. And Stanton is not a home run or nothing guy. I don't care, like people that don't watch baseball and like sometimes watch Stanton might think that, but like he gets a lot of singles and doubles just because he just hits 115 mile an hour single or like grounders up the middle that are impossible to field. But yeah, so it was a fun game offensively. Like you said, that Glaber triple, Blaise's clearing triple is awesome. That's a vintage Glaber right there, just smoking line drives in the gap. Judge with another birthday home run. He hit one in 2017 on his birthday. Mm-hmm. And Rizzo with 3 home runs.
I really think the only down part in that game was just Loaisiga. You know, mm-hmm. we thought we had a lead. You thought we could just turn it to Loaisiga. It could have been a potential save situation just because he came in with runners on base. Actually, I don't think it would be a save situation because we were up by 5 runs at that point. But he came in, you figured he would just shut it down, and then he'll just take the 9th and just it'll be a cakewalk. But he did get into some trouble, but we won the game 12-8. That's all you want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, not really any huge complaints that game. Like you said, it mm-hmm. would have been nice to see the Wise go shut it down, but we still won 12-8. We scored 12 runs, which is more runs than we scored in the entire series combined for the last time we faced the Orioles, so that's cool. Also, yeah. I don't know how many home games the Orioles have played, but they've only had 3 home runs. Like,
what?
The Orioles ballpark this year has only given up 3 home runs.
That's insane. Between both teams?
Yes.
That's insane. Like, I think they
overdid it.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think they was like, we don't want any more home runs. It was like, I don't think they meant no home runs.
Yeah, I mean, like, that left field is just, it's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see the first home run that's hit over that wall. It has to mm-hmm. be a righty. I refuse to believe there's going to be a single lefty this entire year that hits a home run over that wall.
No.
That's nuts to go opposite field with that much power.
Yeah. It's also a high fence, too. Yeah. Like, it's not like you could just get a screamer and it just so happens. Like, you need to hit it really hard and it's going to be tough. I don't imagine someone hitting a home run, a lefty hitting a home run.
I'm trying to look it up to see. If you want to take the beginning breakdown of game 2. Yeah. I'm trying to look up the
amount of home runs. So in game 2, we had Monty pitching, and Judge Stanton hits a 2-run home run for his 350th home run. That's something that's a big milestone. He was the 7th quickest hitter to hit 350. And that kind of got me thinking, like, I think he's for sure going to get 500 home runs, right? Like, that's...
He's 32, right?
Yeah.
He's got a good 8 years left in him. Yeah. I mean, that's what, 20 home runs a season? Less than 20 home mm-hmm. runs a season, there's no way he's not going to get it. Unless he gets like a career-ending injury.
Yeah, the only thing is health.
Yeah.
But I can't imagine he won't hit 500, and I think he could challenge 600 home runs.
Yeah, so 250, if he plays 8 seasons... Math, that's like 31-ish, 30 to 35 home runs a year, which Stanton can definitely do if he stays healthy. Mm-hmm. I think if he has 8 mostly healthy seasons, he can get 600. It's just mm-hmm. if he can stay healthy.
Yeah, I was just thinking just 5 seasons of like unbelievable hitting, and then the rest kind of tails off.
Oh, okay, yeah. Because if he gets like 5 seasons of 40... plus mm-hmm. 40 to 50 home runs a year, then yeah, I think he can definitely get to 600.
Mm-hmm.
yeah, so ballpark home run count. The Yankees, 36 at Yankee Stadium. The only other one above 30 is Angels Stadium.
Yeah.
And then Baltimore's 3 home runs. 5 at the Coliseum, 7 in Cleveland. 9 at Kauffman. I need to see. I'm looking up really quick how many home games they've had.
Okay.
1, 2, 3.
There was another in the 3rd inning. Monty gave up a double to Jorge Mateo, and he's been stealing like crazy this year. But he makes a really bad gaffe, just like trying to steal third, and Monty picks him off. Mm-hmm. But it was a bad pickoff. Like, they knew he was going. Like, they could telegraph it. The way that he was, like, moving. Like, you could see him moving. Like, you could see the wheels turning. You're like, oh, he's going to third. Let me try to, you know, throw behind him. And sure enough, he was going. And they just picked him off. Just, you know, I I guess I like the aggressiveness for the Orioles. You know, you're trying to make things happen, but I think that was the first out, too. You can't do
that. Yeah, it was the first or second. And, like, also, Monty had him picked off earlier in the inning and just, like, spiked the ball so they didn't get him. So, like, Mateo should have been aware about the fact that Monty's clearly trying to get him and still got picked off.
Yeah. And it was the first out. I'm looking. It was the first out. You just can't, you know, you already have a guy in scoring position. You know, the saying is, you know, don't make the first or last out at third. And he made the first out at third.
Technically second, but. Oh, yeah. I mean, pickle. But, yeah. And I looked it up. The Orioles have only played 6 home games. So a home run every 2 games, which compared to last year is probably wildly low. There's probably like
2 home runs a game at least.
So yeah,
by the opponent too.
I hate the changes that they made, but yeah, back to this game. I mean, Monty, good outing again, kind of like Seve's, a home run to Santander turned a great outing into just a good one. 2 earned runs, 5.2 innings pitched, 4 strikeouts, 4 hits.
Is Santander turning into another Yankee killer? We got rid of 2 Yankee killers in the offseason, and right before us, we're seeing another one kind of develop, because it seems like every time Santander is hitting a home run in a really crucial situation.
Yeah, it's annoying. I don't know why there are just certain players that hit so well against certain teams, but he's one of them, and it's annoying. And then yet again, once Monty came out of the game, he was losing. He gave up 2 runs, and he was losing. Like, I don't know what's up with this team and not scoring when Jordan Montgomery is pitching. Like, it happened a lot this year that they didn't score no matter who was pitching. But last year, it was just brutal.
Yeah.
He had, like, the least run support for basically any starting pitcher.
It's real tough. He was always pitching in close games. And that has to also wear on a pitcher. You know, you're like, I have to be perfect because, you know, if I give up a run, that could be ball game.
And I remember, I feel like I vividly remember a start that he had. And I want to say it was Oakland last year that he gave up literally 1 run in like 6 or 7 innings. And after he gave up that run, he went into the dugout and like slammed his glove and was like pissed off. And like, if your starter pitches that good of a game, he should not be upset.
Yeah, like, I do remember that. And I think you said the same thing as it happened. He was like, you know, you can't be pissed. Like, if you're doing that to your pitcher, like, that has to wear on you. And that's, like, it's not just one game. It's an accumulation of them just not scoring. So it's just built up frustration.
And, like, it's I want to start scoring for him because Monty giving up less than 3 runs and pitching over 5 innings is a win every single day of the week because he's our 3rd or 4th starter. Like, right now, he's our 4th because Nestor is better. But, like, rotation-wise, he's right now, penciling as our 3rd. So, like, if you're getting a 3 ERA from your 3rd starter, like a 3-3-5, like, that's a huge win.
Yeah.
Like, that's top-tier 3rd starter level quality. So, the fact that he barely wins games is annoying. But bouncing off that, King comes in relief. King is the new Loaisiga of this year, the guy that comes out of the bullpen and just destroys every expectation possible. Didn't have 80 million strikeouts today, but he gave, or that game, but he gave up 1 hit and 1 walk in 2 1/3 innings. Like, he's got a .69 ERA this season and a 4.20 for his career, which is just that he's awesome. I mean, and Clay Holmes came in and shut it down.
So it wasn't anything. There was no worries about Chapman or anything. It was just that he pitched a couple games in a row. So, you know, give him a day off. So, like we said, the Yankees bullpen is pretty stacked. So it's kind of just like, just pick any of them and they could close. Yeah. We have a bunch of closers. And that's kind of really nice to have just in your bullpen. Like, you don't have to worry about having, like, a guy. Like, we said this last episode, but we don't have another guy where you're just like, oh, this guy's pitching, like, he's gonna blow it. Like, I feel good about a lot of our pitchers.
Yeah, I also forgot that Stanton's home run was in the first inning, so we were tied when Monty came out of the game.
Oh yeah, that's right.
And then we did take the lead the next inning
But it
off
was
of.
after King came in to get out of that inning.
Yeah, and that was a Stanton sack liner. I'm not gonna say it was a sack fly because he hit the ball on the screws. It was just right at someone. So that takes us 3-2, and then Gallo for the second day in a row hits another home run, two run shot, puts us up 5-2, and we ended it out there. So we won the series. I think everyone expected a pretty much full punt day, considering it was a getaway day against the Orioles. But we found that found we got the lineup today, and I mean we played Marwin Gonzalez and who was the other? Why am I blanking on? Oh, LeCastro started. Yeah. So Stanton DH today, which I think everyone in planet Earth expected that to happen unless they gave Stanton the day off and DH Judge. I thought Stanton or Judge would get the day off.
That's I also thought the same thing because we won the series, so that's kind of our thing. Was like, if you're gonna rest the guy, let them win the series first.
Yeah.
And the Yankees seem to like to do that, giving their guys days off like that. But yeah, I
Yeah.
was kind of shocked that we had, for the most part, our A lineup.
Yeah, our 1 through 5 is the same it's been for the last almost the last 6 games. I think we sat Donaldson once in that span. But actually, did we? He might have just DH'd.
I think he did DH. I don't think
I
I
don't.
remember
I
him
think
being
our
out of the
1 through 5 has been the same for the past 6 games.
lineup.
And then we played Gallo. We didn't play. We didn't play Kiner Falefa. That's like the only main player that we didn't play. Like Gleyber, you could make the argument that Gleyber could have played, I guess, but like,
I mean,
not really.
it makes sense to put Stanton at DH and you don't
Yeah.
have Hicks. He's
Yeah.
We also didn't play Andujar, which is kind of
Yeah, I'm upset that he didn't get a chance to play. I wanted to see what he
yeah, just to see
had.
something, right?
I was hoping they'd at least DH him for like Marwin Gonzalez and just. But I think they just wanted to give IKF the full day off, which I'm not mad at. He's had like 2 days off this year. That's has Judge. I think Judge has only had one. DJ. I
Has
don't know
he
if
gotten on
DJ's
base
had it.
every single game, Judge? I'm pretty sure. If not, it's been,
I don't think every game, but I mean he's batting .296 with a .944 OPS, so he's doing fine. And now he's starting to hit home runs, mentioned in this game.
Quietly getting his average and OPS above. Well, actually, no, he's hitting two. At that point, he was hitting 296, but got his OPS above 900.
Yeah, now he's at Judge numbers. Like .296, .944 is like a season that you could see Judge having. Like that's a really good season, but that's Aaron Judge.
And
So
I still don't think he's gotten hot yet, right? Like,
I think he's hot right now.
you
He's
think so?
hit. I mean, he
I
had
know he
two
had
home
the two
runs in
homer game.
Cleveland. He
I
hit
know he
two
had the
home
two
runs
home.
this series.
I don't know. I think he where I'm just waiting for. I think he has another notch,
He's
another
hit
notch.
four home runs in the last like
I don't
six
know.
games.
I
And he's
think.
hitting rocket doubles. I mean, I guess, but he would have had a grand slam, but they had a wild pitch that
A
scored a
wild
run.
pitch.
So that's I mean, we still scored 4 runs as a team, but I would have liked to see Judge get a grand slam. And I don't really think you can make the argument that they would have pitched him differently because they had a base open and he had a 3-run home run. If they didn't have a base open, they have to throw him even better pitches. So it would have been a grand slam and that would have been super cool. But oh well, he had a 3-run home run. Rizzo had a double this game. DJ had a double. Marwin Gonzalez had a double.
Tyone was shaky though, to start the game and just throughout the game, he was just shaky. We were down to nothing, and I know we have our offense, but it kind of felt like bad, just because. It could have been a lot worse. We could have been down more than just 2 runs. Like, I guess
Yeah.
Tyone settled down to make sure it didn't get away from us. But, and, when you leave the game, it you're down by two. You feel confident that our bullpen and offense can get you out of that hole. So I guess in the end, he didn't, you know, blow up. And I guess that's a positive. But he just didn't look sharp, you know?
Yeah, it took a while for our offense to get going this game. Tyone had like a Sevy Detroit kind of outing where he gave up seven hits but only two runs. He had a few key moments where he kind of shut the door and didn't allow things to get out of hand. So that was good to see. You're not going to have your ace stuff every time. You're not going to give up zero runs every time. But he pitched 4 2/3, only gave up two runs. We'll take that. Miguel Castro came in to close out the fifth and did his thing. He gave up a hit and a walk. It got kind of dicey, but he got out of it. Wandy Peralta pitched, didn't give up any runs. Loaisiga looked good today. Loaisiga looked like Loaisiga today.
The three strikeouts, he looked real good. You know, I was kind of, when they brought him in the sixth, and that was kind of, you know, you're trying to see that. Got out of a jam and then got three strikeouts. And I was kind of looking to see just how he performs just after giving up that three-run home run the last game he pitched. So just I wanted to see some development, and he did. He looked really good.
Yeah, and then Chad Green looked like the good Chad Green today, so that was super cool. And before we get into Marinaccio, we'll talk about the offense. And the bottom of the fifth inning was quite possibly one of the worst defensive innings I've ever seen by a team, specifically by a player. This is probably what it was like in that White Sox game where Tim Anderson had 80 million errors in like one inning. But Jorge Mateo it was just brutal. Like, he was just booting balls, couldn't pick them up, like all of these issues. And the Yankees finally, like teams do against us every time we give them free outs, we scored four runs in that inning. And when we literally should have gone down 1-2-3.
Yep.
So they gave us free outs. We made them pay for it, scored four runs, and then didn't look
back. That's what you have to do, though. When you get free outs, you have to capitalize on them. You have to cash them in. And the Yankees did that. You know, it sucks for the pitcher, you know, the Orioles pitcher, Zimmerman. You're like, come on, man. Like, I did my job. My defense is letting me down. But, you know, I'll take it. Yankees scored four runs, take the lead for the first time.
Yeah, Zimmerman's line of 4.1 innings pitched, 5 hits, 5 strikeouts, 1 walk, 4 runs, 0 earned. Like, his ERA still looked good. So at the end of the year, you'll forget that he had an outing where they gave up 4 runs on errors. But and then they tacked on a few more runs, I'm pretty sure on another error for one of them. But then the bottom of the eighth, that Judge 3-run home run was it kind of put it away. We're up 10-2. Then they put in Marinaccio, which we saw last time in the Guardians series, in the same situation where we were up a ton going for the sweep, just put him in the mop up and he gave up a few runs. I mean, his stuff looks decent, but his command just isn't there. And then he gets into bad counts and he kind of just throws it right down the middle and people can hit it. Like, you're a major league pitcher, you can hit it when you throw it right down the middle.
Yeah, that's, and I think that's the difference, is that his command kind of gets away from him, and you could probably get away with that in the minors. You know, you just have a really good fastball, you could just blow it by guys. But in the major, it's like that's the difference between, you know, minor leaguers and major leaguers. They're going to get to it. You know, fastball down the middle, they're going to get to it.
Yeah, and for a reliever, his stuff is gross. So, like, he definitely has a future in the MLB. He just needs to work on his control and get a little bit more comfortable, and I'm sure we'll see him again. He got sent down right after the game, which I think most people expected, but I mean, he got into some games, he got some MLB experience, and now he gets to go work on what he needs to work on. But we closed out the sweep, two sweeps in a row, going for a third. Just not a whole lot to complain about this series. We got done.
I think it could have been, you know, going when we previewed it, we were just like, and I'm going to include the Guardians, even though we talked about it before, but, you know, we were just like, you know, probably going to go 4-2, 5-1. If we could get a sweep for both series, I would be ecstatic. And we did it. So I'm really happy. We're first, like I said, to start the episode, but we're first in the American League, best record in the AL. So was our kind of doom and gloom? Couple weeks ago when we lost you know, the series to Orioles. Do you kind of feel bad about that, or do you still, you know, think about that series?
I don't necessarily know about feel bad, because that's literally what we went through all last year. So it's not crazy to think that it's just going to happen again. But at the same time, we were still some of the more confident Yankees fans about it. We weren't saying like, oh, the season's over, like this team sucks. We were like, it's starting to look like last year again, and that would be horrible. But now, as the weather's heating up, I think we're seeing, obviously, I don't think this team is going to score 10 runs three out of their four games every single time. And we were begging for five run games before, and we scored over five runs every game this series, or five or over, and 10, two of them. Like, I think this is a good offense. I don't think it's a top five offense necessarily, because there are a lot of really good offenses out there. Like, they could, it wouldn't shock me if we finished top five, but I think they're definitely top 10, leaning more towards like the 9 through 6 area more than the 5 through 3.
Yeah, I think we're in the next tier of it. I don't think you look at the Yankees lineup, like, if everyone's hot and everything, you're like, okay, this is a scary lineup. But I don't think you're like, oh, man. Like, I think there's a lot more teams that I'm scared of. I'm like, man, look at that offense. Like, you know, I think there's a couple of holes in our lineup. But you take it because they play really good defense, and that helps you throughout the long season. Yeah.
And what I was going to say is, I think our pitching and defense is top five in the league. I don't think there's not many. I literally think the Dodgers are the only team in the league that I could confidently say I think their offense and pitching is probably both in the top five. Blue Jays are probably a top five offense. Like, the Blue Jays are us, but flipped. I think they're a top five offense, but they're kind of more in that 9 through 6 pitching, if their pitching works. Like, their 4 and 5 starters are very up in the air. Like, Kikuchi and Ryu could just be duds, but I'm pretty sure Manoah, Gausman, and Berrios are going to have pretty good years. They're going to be a pretty good 1 through 3, and the back end of their bullpen is pretty good.
I think it was more potential. I mean, Ryu's hurt right now, so I guess it doesn't really, you know, matter. But, like, he does look, if you've seen the games, like, just the second half, terrible last year. And then this year, not off to a great start. He's injured now. I think, personally, I think he's cooked.
Yeah,
I don't think he has it anymore. And then Kikuchi, they signed him with a lot. They were thinking maybe we could turn him into the next Robbie Ray, because, like, his pitch mix is similar to Robbie Ray, and you're like, we just fixed this guy, maybe we could do it with Kikuchi. I don't believe that.
I also don't think they're at all similar. Like, Robbie Ray has
I've seen him do it before.
But, like, Robbie Ray has gold for K per 9 for a reason. Like, he's always been able to strike out a ton of people. He just couldn't command anything. Kikuchi, like, he's never been a huge strikeout guy. He's more of Tanaka than he is Robbie Ray. And he looked horrible after the sticky ban last year. And, like, I don't feel very confident about the fact that he's going to be a good pitcher. I think he's going to be a mid-4 pitcher. And every one of our starting pitchers, I think, is better than him, and he's their 4. I also think 3 of our starting pitchers are better than Berrios. So that's me personally. Now, Nestor could significantly decline. Like, I don't know what's going to happen with Nestor, but I'm very confident that Seve and Cole are going to be 2 aces this year, if Seve stays healthy.
So, with that said, next series, we have our 3 aces. Aces are wild in the next series against the Royals.
I can see us losing a game because our offense might go cold, but we should easily win this series. Like, the Royals should be scoring. If the Royals score more than 10 runs this series, I will be upset.
Yeah, I think... The pitchers that the Royals are putting out there, they're not the best, too. And we're putting, you know, our best pitchers. So we should sweep this series. We really should. I know you want to be hesitant about that, but we really should. I don't expect them to sweep them, but they should sweep them.
Yeah, the expectation should be win the series. The like, if the team plays well, it's an easy sweep. And it's tough to expect the offense to be firing on all cylinders like every single game for 9 games straight. Like they're gonna have down days, but like at the same time, the Royals pitching, especially the ones we're facing, isn't that good. Their bullpen's not that great. Their offense isn't that good. Like they have a few guys. Whit Merrifield's been awful this year.
Oh, he did the worst hitter in the league, I think.
Bobby Witt hasn't been great.
He hasn't, yeah.
Salvador Perez, I think, has been
okay. He hits home runs. But... He's been going through some cold stretches. Mondesi news just broke that he's out for the year, torn ACL, the same injury that Acuna's returning from. So
yeah. Oh, Benintendi. I forgot about him. He's been good. Yeah. I mean, he's hitting .393 with a .925 OPS. I expect him to hit like 3 home runs this series because
he is a Yankee killer. Sox. Yeah.
Yeah. But Whit Merrifield is hitting .127 with a .315 OPS.
Yeah. Like, there's not a lot of guys that I fear in the Royals lineup outside of Salvador Perez, just because he could knock it out of the ballpark. I know they have Carlos Santana, but he's also really, really bad. Who else is out there? You know, that's Bobby Witt, but he's
Nicky
struggling.
Lopez. He's fast.
He's not a power guy. He's not a guy that I like. Maybe if there's a guy on base and you're like, oh, he's a real pesky hitter, but he's not someone that I fear.
Yeah, yeah. So we should sweep. This is another opportunity for Gerrit Cole to prove himself. Like, you should shut down this lineup too. If he gives up 3 or more runs, it's a failure. Even if he pitches 8 innings, if he gives up 3 runs to this lineup, that's a failure. Yeah. Like, he should be giving up 1 or less. 2 is okay. 3 is just not what he should be doing. Seve, I'm gonna say the same for Seve. Nestor, I love Nestor, and I just don't know. I'm like, this is gonna be the one.
You have the shirt. You have to be all in.
Every start, I'm like, all right, this is gonna be the one. Like, he's fine. They're finally gonna hit him, and then he's just like, nope. I'm gonna shut them down yet again, and it's so confusing. But yeah, like you said, it should be a sweep. Hopefully it is, and we can go into the Blue Jays series winning 9 in a row. Offense is hot. Team's hot. 11 out of 12. And hopefully we can... If we win the series against the Blue Jays, like, I'm all in on this team. Like, 100% all in. Because beating them in Toronto, even though it's only May at that point, like, that just means this team is moving.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess, do you also want to preview the Toronto series? I feel like we'll probably do that after the Royals. So, yeah.
Yeah.
We'll that is a big series coming up. Even though it's just May, you know, you can't really say that. But, you know, these games matter. And I think at the end, you're going to go back to these series and be like, man, really should have won these games.
Yep. And then... So yeah, the Blue Jays series, for some reason I thought that was a weekend series. I really don't know why, but it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of next week. So yeah, and I mean,
have
that's going to be
a little 2-game series at home
the next week, yeah. That's going to be a late podcast episode next Wednesday, because we'll record after the series is over, but obviously that game's probably going to end at like 11 o'clock because it's an AL East game.
What game? On Wednesday against Toronto?
Yeah, it starts at 7.
No, that game starts at 12.
No, next week.
Yeah, the final game is at 12.
No, it starts at 7. On May 4th?
Oh. I'm thinking of the Yankee game, like, that's in
the next
New York.
One?
Yeah.
But yeah, all right. So yeah, I mean, we'll talk about it after the Royal series. So moving on, we'll start with Miles Straw because that's relevant to the Yankees. I mean, he said, "Hit me, mother effer." Like we said, it doesn't change our opinion. I mean,
yeah,
if the stuff they were saying in that video, like the fans, is as bad as it got, Miles Straw is the softest player I've ever seen in a professional sport.
So if you haven't seen the video, I'm sure there's a reason why it starts where it starts. You know, you're not gonna, you know, but it kind of starts with Kwan being down. You know, I didn't hear anything bad at all, like in that thing. I heard like "stay down, Kwan."
Yeah, that was the worst thing that they said.
And to me, that doesn't even mean like the way this is a stretch, but that doesn't, to me, I'm not taking that as like I'm rooting for him to be injured. That's kind of like, you know, when you're like making a bad argument, you're just like, dude, just stay down. Just like, you know, don't make it worse for yourself. Like, that's the way I took it, is like, don't like push it. Like, just stay down, dude. Like, I didn't take that as to mean like, dude, like, get hurt. But, you know, the video starts later, so we don't know what else was said. Yeah. But either way, I don't think he should have been climbing up. And then now the video shows that he climbed up and was like, hit me, like, I told you that could have started a riot, and now it's like that just
valid. If that fan actually hit him, that would have been wild. But, I mean, even if you take it as like, yeah, I hope you're injured, like, stay down, whatever, like, that is a horrible thing to say, but that's not bad enough to warrant the player jumping up on the fence.
Yeah.
So, like, I have to imagine they said something else, because... Mm-hmm. That's such a horrible look for Miles Straw if that set him off. Mm-hmm. Because Kwan was, like, already getting up by the time the video started, and he was down for a decent bit. So, like, I can't take much stock into it. The fans that threw stuff on the field should still be banned for life.
Yeah, I don't care what Straw said, because in right field, you're not hearing that. Yeah. Like, he could have said something even crazier. You're not privy to that conversation. If you're throwing trash, you are the trash, right?
Yeah.
Like, I think we made that clear last week, but in case it wasn't clear, that's not acceptable.
Yeah. And then, I guess we'll move on. Speaking of telling people to hit me, Nolan Arenado, we'll start with the first game of that series. Nolan Arenado had a throwing error that extended the inning, and it would have ended the game. The Cardinals would have won.
Yeah.
And Nolan Arenado threw it away, which...
I'm still shocked that they ruled it a hit. It was ruled an infield hit. So if you don't know what we're talking about, let me pull up the box score, because I think they were winning by a run, or maybe it was two runs.
It was 2-0. I'm pretty sure at that point, and Nolan Arenado, like, he took 5 steps and then threw it. Like, I don't understand how they possibly ruled it a hit. It makes no sense.
Yeah.
But the fact that he even threw it away is so uncharacteristic of him. And then the next play, Gallegos just didn't run to first base, so they got an infield single because... he didn't cover. Like, he stood there for like a second or two and then ran over. Like, when you're a pitcher, that has to be your first instinct. When the ball's hit on the ground to the left side, you run to first base.
I don't know. Maybe he was thinking he just gave up a hit, because Paul Goldschmidt made an unbelievable catch to like knock it down and be able to flip it to the pitcher. But yeah, Gallegos was slow to first base, and then he also wasn't like prepared to like turn around and check the runner. Like, he caught the ball and was just like kind of, you know, they're like, they had to point. It was like, home, like, that's where you should be throwing. And McNeil was able to, you know, score and take the lead. I think that tied it, right?
Yeah. That gave them the lead. They already scored a run. Like, there were two people on base at that point, I think. And I think they both scored on that. If my memory serves me correctly, it could have been tied at that point. I don't quite remember. That might have actually tied it, and then the Mets did more to score some more. But, like, it's that I don't care if you think it's a hit. Like, your first instinct as a pitcher should always be break to first base. If you don't need to cover, then you can stop. But you don't stand there to wait to see if you need to cover.
Yeah, you kind of caught.
And that's why. Yeah. And what happened is exactly why. And as much as he can, like, they can blame Nolan Arenado for have a throwing error, he also could have ended the game if he played his position right.
It, Yep. They're like, it's ruled, that's also ruled a hit, but that's a mental error.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then the Mets scored a few more runs off a home run by Nito, or was it Nimmo?
I think it was
Nimmo. One of those two.
But yeah, I don't know if you were watching the SNY broadcast, but it kind of broke, like, it went to commercial break, and then when it tuned in, like, it was already a home run. Like, I didn't even see the pitch thrown to the hitter.
I saw it. I don't know broadcast I was even watching. I was watching on my on YouTube TV.
You were probably watching the home, because that's the default.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I was pissed because, like, I don't dislike the Mets. I just hate Mets fans because they're annoying. I don't really care if the Mets win, but now the Mets fans are just going to have even more fuel to their fire. But, yeah, so then later
on... It seems like it always has to, like, they always get their hopes up, and then they know it's going to come.
They always think this is going to be the year that it doesn't happen.
Yeah, I always liken it to a guy that's sick, and you're like, oh, I'm gonna get better, man. You know, I'm gonna get better. I'm gonna be okay. It's gonna be all right. And it's like, oh no, now you have
Yeah. And then later in the series, so the Mets have been hit like a ridiculous amount of times this year.
Alonso was hit in the face. JD Davis was hit in the foot, and now he's on the IL. I think he's in a walking boot. So in this series they've been hit, but also throughout the whole year they've been getting hit.
Yeah, and they've been getting sick of it. And then when Nolan Arenado was up to bat, they threw it up and in, and Nolan Arenado did not like that and started like talking to the pitcher like like come fight me or like something like that. And then it started a huge brawl. Pete Alonso got taken down by the Cardinals one of the Cardinals coaches, which was funny.
Yeah.
And then Pete Alonso tried to act over. Like a tough guy in the post-game interview.
Gallegos, there was video of him jumping the bullpen. Like, all the guys are, like, crowded by, like, the entrance trying to, like, figure out how to open it. And he's just there jumping over the fence to run and have his guys back.
Yeah, and that pitch wasn't up and in enough to warrant that response out of Arenado, but I think he knew. He was like, all right, you're doing this because we accidentally hit you, so I'm going to get pissed off at you.
But Buck is kind of old school in that way. Like, they've already been hit twice. It was definitely, I think it was on purpose, but it was to send a message, right?
Yeah.
But I don't think it wasn't, like, I don't think it was anything egregious where, like, it warranted
It was reaction. Not... Aroldis Chapman, Mike Brosseau level. Like, that warrants a reaction because Chapman throws very hard and threw it at Brosseau's head.
Yeah. You're throwing 100 miles plus. Like, it was not anything in that close to that situation.
But, yeah, and the Mets have the best record in the league. The Yankees have the second best record in the league.
So, actually, just a little note to that. So, there were two suspensions and then a couple of fines, but Arenado was suspended 2 games, and then the Cardinals reliever Cabrera was suspended 1 game. I think they're going to appeal because I'm looking at the box score and they're playing, so they probably appealed it most likely.
Yeah. Oh wait, we forgot to do our player of the series for the Yankee series.
Oh, that's right.
Mine's Rizzo. You can go second.
That was going to be my pick as well. I think that's fair to put Rizzo as the play. You know, you hit 3 home runs, you got it.
You got to give your own, though. You can't take mine.
Can't take yours. All right, I'll do Judge. You know, he hit an almost grand slam.
He two home runs and a birthday home run.
Yeah, he was also just as hot as Rizzo. You know, just a little, but...
Yeah. All right. And then, moving on, our last topic is the Acuña, right? And, I mean, he was supposed to come back in a few weeks, but the fact that he's already back now ahead of schedule is just great for baseball. He's one of the best young players in the league. He was going to win the NL MVP last year if he didn't get hurt. If you look at his 2021 StatCast page, it's actually ridiculous. It's like 199 for almost every one of the categories.
Yeah.
So... I mean, there's not really much to say yet because he hasn't really played.
Yeah, I mean, I'm checking the box score. He's 0 for 3, you know, struck out. So, you know, hasn't, you know, gone off, but, you know, he's hitting leadoff. It's nice. He's playing right field. There were reports that he's not going to be playing every day. Mm-hmm. So, and it makes sense that they're going to have him, like, DH a lot of games. Now that they have a DH in the NL, makes sense to just kind of preserve him. He's mm-hmm. not going to be playing center field, and all that makes sense to me.
Yeah.
So it's just nice to see him on the field because they were targeting May 8th. And even then, like if you told me at the start of the season he's going to be back May 8th, I would have been like, that's kind of aggressive. Mm-hmm. The fact that he's playing April 28th is even crazier to me.
Yeah, but it's awesome. I'm so glad Acuña's mm-hmm. back. He's one of my mm-hmm. favorite non-Yankees players. He's just so good at everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Five tool to the truest degree. Mm-hmm. He's and then okay, someone we got to talk about is Mike Trout. Like mm-hmm. Mike Trout is back to being Mike Trout. Mm-hmm. I mean, last year he was being Mike Trout last year too, but he got hurt. But yeah. It's just watching him play baseball is just so fun. He is so good.
Mm-hmm.
He has the best OPS in the league of 1256. He's hitting 352. He has how many home runs?
Five home runs,
which he would have like 10 if it was juiced balls because he's hit so many like 110 mile per hour doubles off.
I think
the wall.
He was robbed twice this year already.
Yeah. So. Like but his swing is just like mm-hmm. Griffey's swing is like the prettiest swing. But mm-hmm. I think Mike Trout's swing might be my favorite swing of all time just because it's, like, it's literally perfect. It's, like, the perfect baseball swing. He's so quick. The swing is so fast. He can turn on anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's so compact. His leg kick isn't egregious. Like, he's so good. I mean, when Mike Trout is hurt, the game of baseball is significantly suffering because there's just no one like him in the league.
Yeah, he's back to doing Mike Trout things, but I just sent you a link. I think we talked about it before, but there was like a tweet where some guy...
Oh, yeah.
He's hitting, and then a guy's like, works... So I don't know if you have the tweet out, but Trout is hitting, and then he hits the ball, and then there's a tweet that says, pitching machine swing. Works great when you're 8, not so much against any velocity. Work with him on keeping his hands inside the line and keeping shoulders level. Balance is key.
And then the guy's like, you know that's Mike Trout, right? And he's like, did not know that.
But he kind of digs himself even further, though. He goes, I am. That swing gives you 1 point of contact through the zone. Personally, I'll take a high average line drive hitters over a 150 average every once in a while. Line drives into the backstream, home runs, uppercut swings are outs. He's like, that's Trout. But I don't know. Maybe Trout took this guy's advice, and that's why he's doing the things he's doing. You know, he fixed his flaws, and now he's reached his full potential.
Dude, like, I'm pissed about the fact that, like, I kind of forgot how good Mike Trout was because of how hurt he's been.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, there's no one in the league that when Mike Trout is being Mike Trout can touch him. Like Soto mm-hmm. and Vladdy are probably the two next best hitters in the league, and they're not on the same level. Like they're yeah. as elite, generational elite hitters can be, but like mm-hmm. Mike Trout is arguably the greatest player of all time.
So I was already so you know that I was, you know, doubting Trout because I was debating whether or not to even put him number one. I was like, oh, I think he kind of lost it, you know? Like,
yeah.
I think he's going to be good, but, like, he's been injured. You know, should I knock him for that, put him outside? But, no, he's
made us look dumb. And, like, yeah. Ohtani is Ohtani. Like,
mm-hmm.
Trout is the best player that's not Ohtani. Because mm-hmm. Ohtani is just stupid.
Yeah, he's a cheat code. Yeah.
Yeah. But Trout's career... He is a very rare breed of having a career batting average of 300, like 305. Mm-hmm. There's probably a handful of players, active players right now, that have a bad career batting average over 305 that started playing after 2010. Like, Miggy doesn't count as much because he started playing in an era where batting average was important. But, like, yeah, like, Vladdy does, but he's played 3 years.
Yeah.
Mike Trout has a 305 batting average, 419 OPS, a 1.004 OPS, and 419 OBP, sorry. A 1. Career OPS is nuts.
That's insane. That's insane.
He's so good. 315 home runs, 826 RBIs, 200 stolen bases, almost 1,500 hits. Like, I'm going to miss him so much when he retires.
And importantly, the Angels are in first.
Yeah.
So the Angels are actually playing well. He's doing well, but the team is also doing well. You know, that's kind of a knock on him. It's like, well, you know, he's not making the playoffs. I mean, we've played, what, 10% of the game, so you don't know, but they're off to a hot start. You know, I would love to see him in the playoffs with this expanded, you know, postseason.
Yeah, and some other things about Trout and, like, the Angels in general. Like, I go to sleep and around, like, 10-ish, 9 or 10-ish, and I've been putting on whatever's on YouTube TV's MLB Network, or whatever's on MLB Network when I go to sleep, just whatever game it is. And I've gotten to watch a lot of Angels games that way this year, and I don't watch the whole thing because I fall asleep, but, like, it's fun to watch him. He is one of the very few players in the league that, like, if you have the opportunity to watch his at-bats, you should do it. Because you could, like, I turned it on the other day, and he just hits an absolute missile 470 feet. Like, that was, like, a couple weeks ago. But he's just so good. And the Millville Meteor has got to be one of the best nicknames in baseball.
Show one of my many bobbleheads, but I can't see it.
There it is.
Yeah, it's a little MVP. So
I want to get a Trout jersey.
Yeah, like, he's probably my I think he is my favorite non-Yankee.
Yeah,
right.
It was Soto, but that's, like I said before, I forgot how good and how much I love Trout because of his injuries.
Yeah,
but I just hope he stays healthy.
You're always focused on the next shiny, you know, toy. But, you know, you kind of forget Trout's just excellence. How consistent he is, you know, when he's on the field. Like, he is, you know, like, first ballot Hall of Famer already at this point. Like, that's great.
And I drafted him, like, 13th, I think, in the second round of my fantasy draft this year.
That's insane. That's insane. That's a great value.
And he was ranked like 25th on ESPN's fantasy baseball. And I was like, there's no way he's going to drop that far. So I'm just going to take him. And that's been a crazy good value so far.
So one thing we didn't talk about is the letter, the Yankee letter.
Oh, right. Yeah, I mean, it was literally nothing.
It wasn't. Yeah, it was nothing. You know, if you thought this was going to take down the Yankees, well, you know, it didn't. There was a lot of people, like, there was a couple tweets by some Astros fans. It was like, all right, who's going to get suspended for a year? It's like, there was nothing crazy. Everything that they released was already public knowledge. Like, if you were following the story, you already knew everything that was inside there. I think the only new insight was how much the Yankees got fined.
Yeah. And, like, yes, the Yankees cheated, but it was in 2015 and 2016 when the Yankees didn't win anything, and then it was nothing compared to the Astros. Like, what they did was use the replay room to get the catcher's signs, and then they would take the signs once they learned them and relay them to the runner on second to give to the hitter.
Similar to what the Red Sox did.
Yeah.
But the Astros...
And,
like, but the key distinguisher was that it happened before Manfred sent out that letter disallowing it.
And and then on top of that, the thing that separates us from the Astros is the Astros did it when nobody was on base. Like, they could do it whenever they wanted. The Yankees and Red Sox, you could only do it when there was a guy on second base.
So if you were thinking of any conspiracy theories, you're I mean, you were very disappointed with this letter. You know, you didn't get your smoking gun. There's nothing. No one's going down. Everything that we knew, we already knew it. So, yeah. You know, it really was a nothing story, you know. Yeah.
Good old nothing burger.
Yeah.
But, yeah, anything else that you want to talk about?
I think we hit on everything I wanted to talk about.
All right. I guess we'll wrap it up then. As always, if you enjoy the episode, check us out on Twitter and Instagram at The Bronx Story. Leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcasts. If you're watching on YouTube, like, comment, subscribe, all the good stuff. We've had a little spike in our viewership recently. I think that has a lot to do with baseball being back. People are starting to come back after the lockout, and that's been awesome to see. So let's keep it up. Let's keep going. We're going to try and be a lot more consistent, get our episodes out after every series is over. So look forward to that. Sometimes, like today, when the game's at 1 o'clock, like we both work full time, so we can't just hop on record right when the game's over, like we do for the 7 o'clock games. Mm-hmm. But unless it's a weekend game, then we might be able to. But I just started a baseball league that I'm going to be playing in that does double headers every Sunday. So even then, it might be a little later. They start at like 10 or 9 a.m. So I should be done around 5. But yeah, like, but either way, we'll try to get episodes out after our series is over every single time we can.
Mm-hmm.
And be more active on social media. I've been live tweeting during the games. My Twitter's at PerceptRW. If you want to check that out, I have the link to the podcast in my bio as well. Tinder is going to make a Twitter at some point.
I will.
And then once he does, we'll be more active. And yeah, we'll also look forward to, we're going to live stream some games this year. Some big, if there's like a big game and we have the time to do it, we probably will. So look forward to that. Hey, maybe, how about if we're up 2-0 in the Blue Jay series next week, going for a sweep, we can live stream that game.
I'm down for that, because then that means we don't have to record late anyways, because, you know, everything we would have been saying would have been said in the live stream. So I'm cool with that. If we're going for a sweep against the Blue Jays, yes, let's do it.
Yeah, and we can, obviously, because the live stream will only be up on YouTube, so we can still record like a 30-minute recap episode right after for Spotify listeners, but it doesn't need to be as crazy as it usually is. So yeah, and obviously by live streaming the game, we mean it'll be like this screen with, I'll put a little score bug on it, but I can't actually stream the game.
So
that's a deal. So if that situation happens, we'll live stream it. So situations like that where it's just a big game for the Yankees. But yeah, as always, we'll see you guys next time after the next series is over. And let's go Yanks.
Let's go Yankees. Let's play ball. Let's keep the winning streak going.
All right. See you guys.
Bye.